Visually Impaired Data Processors International, or VIDPI, is an affiliate of the American Council of the Blind. Let's hear some vendor presentations now.
Very happy to be here from Paris, France, with probably the only French little device that's around here. So I'll show it to you. It's big like a TV remote control. It talks to you, you talk to it. Okay? For example, like that. I'll do it again. Yeah.
Mohammedska 00113315578250.
That's a long number because it goes to Paris, to France. So you see that it is part of a telephone book. This one, because this device has 5 functions: a telephone book, a memo, appointment book, clock with an alarm that that plays "Ode to Joy" from Beethoven. We'll show you to you later, and we have a calculator with the major operations, also currents, change currencies, etc. So we exist, we are a very young company, we are specialized in voice recognition. This device was not designed for the blind or visually impaired at the beginning, but it found its way through these people. They gave us feedbacks, and we are on the third generation of this device. Now, Christian is going to maybe you have some questions first? Well, no. Okay. Well, how much does it cost? It costs $259. So when you see all the things, it's I'm not going to exaggerate, but it's precious and sophisticated like the French. Okay, so it's just a Sunday afternoon in Des Moines. We can do whatever we want, no problem. So Christian is going to show you one of the functions. Okay, here she is.
To use the telephone directory, you record information by voice. On the right side, there is a button. You press it and you speak. For example, I will not record a new number, but I will call back somebody I am recording before. For example, Maxi Ed. Oh, excuse me, it was closed. Maxi Ed. Maxi Ed.
No.
I call another name. Gunny Lanson.
Gunny Lanson 0011.
And you can dial the number. Can you listen?
Yes. Can you hear? Yes. What happens is that it gives the impulse of the telephone number, like if you would dial it on your telephone yourself. So you press the thing 2 times, it gives you the telephone number, and it da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You put your telephone on the little voice mate, okay? And it dials it for you. Okay? That's one of the things that it does.
The second function is a memo. When you want to record something, you always press the side key and you speak. I am demonstrating the voice mate in room 205.
Your memo has been recorded.
If I want to listen again this memo,
I am demonstrating the voice mate in room 205.
Okay.
And you have options on short memo or long memo. Short memo comes exactly like what she showed now. Long memo, it will tell you maybe
edit
you.
Type, short.
Voilà, edit type short, edit type long, and you choose.
Edit type long.
Voilà, edit type long. It will tell you Can you do it?
You can listen again the same message.
Last memo recorded at 2:59 p.m. Sunday, July 3rd, 2001. I am demonstrating the voice mate in the room 205.
Okay. So that's the memo. In the memo, maybe we're not going to do it now because we don't have so much time, but there is a possibility to insert and delete, like make editing. So we can, maybe if we have time, we can show that later. Okay, the third one is the appointment book. Let's say you have an appointment. Can we make a demonstration?
Yes, I can do.
Let's have an appointment with Robert on the 3rd of July. At 10, what time?
Oh,
10 a.m. Okay.
Okay. I go to the book appointment.
Memo appointment.
Okay. And I record Robert. Okay. When something is already recording, he says something which is already recording. If I open the door,
would you like to record an appointment with Robert?
I press yes.
Repeat, Robert.
And I repeat, Robert.
Enter the date of the appointment and press yes. Sunday, July 3rd, 2001.
It was no. It was 3rd of July at 10 a.m.
07 03, and the year is not necessary because it's this year. And like the clock is on time, it's all right. I press yes.
No appointment. Enter the time of the appointment.
So she's telling us that there is no appointment that day. So, and asking what time it would be the appointment.
10 a.m.
10 a.m.?
Yes.
Oh, it's too late.
No, 10 a.m.
Oh, a.m., sorry.
0 a.m.
Voilà, 10 a.m.
I press yes.
We already have an appointment at that time.
Oh,
we already have an appointment at that time, but she had said no appointment. What's the story?
Well, I'll be in resolution soon.
Okay.
0.
No?
You already have an appointment at that time.
That's strange. Okay.
Zero.
Let's make it 10:01.
01. Would you like a reminder?
Do we want a reminder?
Is a recurrent appointment.
No, recurrent appointment would be that we would have an appointment each day at the same time. That's too much.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's too much.
Okay.
Keep with
I press
one.
Yes.
Use the reminder period unit.
So we said no.
Enter the reminder
period.
Ah
bon.
I press yes each day. It's 2 days, for example.
Two. Would you like a notification beep?
I press yes.
Press the side key and record the appointment.
I give no more information about
this. Your appointment has been recorded.
If I want to control my appointment with Robert, I can re-listen. My appointment.
Robert, appointment at 10:01 a.m. Tuesday, July 3rd, 2001.
Right?
She didn't tell us the time. What about the time?
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
If I want to retry an appointment already recording, I can call it by voice. For example, Donata.
Donata. 1 a.m. Monday, July 2nd, 2001.
Boy.
Okay.
Interesting, huh? Do you have any questions?
What do you do at 1 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Ooh la la. Okay. Maybe we can show a little bit of the. Do you have any questions? No? Okay. So,
It's great.
It's great, huh? It's very nice, yeah.
Is it multilingual?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Oh, 10
you
languages.
Have 10 languages available. English, French, Spanish, Italian, Dutch, German, Danish, Swedish, Japanese, and Chinese. And very soon, Arabic.
Ah! Yeah. Okay. Maybe you can show
clock?
The clock.
Oh, 3:09 p.m. Alarm time, 6:30 a.m. Sunday, July 3rd.
Okay, that's right.
Time, press 1. To change the alarm, press a.m., p.m. of U.S. Alarm volume 3.
Alarm time.
Okay. Now, that was nice, yeah. Then you have the calculator. We told you about that. Maybe we can just finish
you
with it, or with the edit thing. What?
No.
What? No, no.
Calculator.
Oh non, la calculatrice. Non. Vous êtes sûr de réussir l'edit?
Non.
Okay, so you.
I can try.
Okay,
can
you
try.
Have. If you have any question, because it looks the time is running. What? To Frère Jacques?
It's not possible now.
No, we would put an American song then. Okay. So thank you. We don't have no booth here, but we are represented by MaxiAid and ILA, who are here, have the product. And Alva also. Also, we have a website which is
voice-assistant.com.
assistant.com. And also, I thought it was a very good idea what the gentleman had before. If you want to put your name, and we can, you know, we have a newsletter which is on the voice on the website anyway. So, and we'll be around up to tomorrow. Tomorrow evening. What?
Is it battery and electric?
No, it's only battery.
Only
yes.
Four batteries, triple A. Triple A.
Oh. Triple A. And what we didn't say also, there is a PC link.
Triple A.
Triple A. And there is a PC link that allows you to back up your data in your computer. And there is an earphone, because you see she's talking all the time. So if you want to be private, you put the earphone and the information's come on into you.
Back it up digitally or audio?
Digitally. Only. You can't use it data on your computer.
Or are they all in here?
What?
You have to select the language, or are they all built in it?
They are built on only one, with only one language. But you can download the language you want from our website.
And change it anytime?
Yes.
And change anytime.
Very clever.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Good afternoon. This is B.T. Kimbrough. I'm the Vice President of Enabling Technologies. We celebrated our 30th year as a company in January, a company in this field, specializing for most of that time in Braille printers. And I haven't been with a company for anything like 30 years, but it occurred to me yesterday that next year it'll be 30 years since I attended my first convention of the American Council of the Blind. So how time does fly. Thanks very much to VidPi for sponsoring this meeting and giving us a chance to talk about what we have here and what's new. And we'll try to do it in way under 10 minutes. You can come and see us at booths 48 and 49 in the hall. And even if you don't do that, you can see our wares if you read the Braille version of the daily newspaper. For the past several years, the newspaper has been run on one or another Braille embosser of our manufacture. And this year's no exception. We have a Braille Express 150 and a Bookmaker and I think a Juliet manufacturing the copies of the daily newspaper. We do have a couple of our printers at the booth if you want to come and see one. And also we have a couple of products that are new to us that we don't actually manufacture. We do specialize in Braille embossers. But the Japanese company KGS has just made available through Enabling Technologies an interesting Braille labeler. And it uses strips of tape that will look a lot to you like Dymo tape. They really aren't. They are, in fact, manufactured by KGS and sold by them. They don't come in a roll. They come in individual strips of three different lengths. You can get a 25-character label. You can get a 15-character label or a 7-character label. You put them in one at a time, and there's an inboard grade 2 translator, but you select the characters one at a time using arrows and keys, and unfortunately, and I'm a little embarrassed to say this before this group, but right now it's really not accessible to a blind user such as myself. We have argued with KGS about putting speech on it, and that probably will happen. Somebody said this morning in the hall, well, KGS makes Braille displays. What about having a Braille display in it? And, of course, the answer is that would raise the price quite a lot. It is really targeted at this point to sighted operators who want to provide Braille labels on telephones and any number of other hotel keys and goodness knows what else. It sells for...
Does it tell them which way to put them on?
That's a very good question. It sells right now for $9.95. And so come around and see it if you're interested. And I hope by next year we will have speech on the device so a blind person can use it readily. It's $995. It's really the first product of its kind, which is an electronic Braille labeler, and I'm sure KGS will be interested to see how many of those are sold in this market. But some hotels and some companies that want to make things accessible to their blind clients and customers have expressed interest in it, and that's the primary market that it's for at this point. We also have another interesting new product, this one from Reapertronics. They have for a long time had a machine which they call the Tactile Image Enhancer, and it uses special paper to raise up an image if you have drawn it on the paper. The paper is a little bit on the expensive side unless you buy it in very large quantities. That also sells for about $9.95. But he has now a much smaller machine which handles individual sheets of the paper and raises up images. He calls it the Tide Junior, or the Tactile Image Enhancer Junior, and it sells for only $350. He just started shipping it this week, and we have one of the first ones here. So if you want to see a tiny little device which produces not the kind of tactile graphics that are made on our embossers, which are made of dots, but actually are produced of smooth lines and lines of many different sizes, depending very much on how the image looked originally, come see us. We have a few sample images, and it's really very simple to operate.
Does this use the swell paper?
It does. It uses the special bubble paper. And because it's a very special thermal process and wouldn't work on just any old ordinary paper. We're in booths 48 and 49, and we'd be delighted to see you. And I keep hearing from various friends of mine that there are no bad short speeches, and so I'm going to stop there and ask if there are any questions.
Which aisle are you?
I don't know. It's booths 48 and 49. My wife was here for a while and could have told me, but I don't know the answer to that. Sorry. We do have a third new product, and it isn't here. And our new product of our own manufacture is called Braille Place, and it will be our largest and fastest Braille printer. We have it set for delivery this fall. It's weighs over 600 pounds, and it has a speed of about 300 characters a second. It's an interpoint printer designed for high-volume applications, libraries, and large agencies and printing houses. It's going to sell for right about $32,000. It's also a 220-volt only product, which is another reason it was going to be a little difficult to have it in a situation like this one. So the two of the three new products we have are of somebody else's manufacturer, but we hope some of you will come by our booth and see them. Thank you very much.
Just to give you a little update on the digital talking book progress as far as getting those ready to go out the door. We've been talking about going over to the digital talking book technology for many years now, and we're continuing to put together all the infrastructure to make that possible. We've had a few problems that we were not anticipating early on. Actually, we had hoped to announce this fall a general release of digital talking book technology, but we have been stymied by a couple of problems. One is the digital rights management tools, which the publishers need to have us be sure to include in our technologies in order to provide secure copyright protection of their intellectual property. And the other part is as far as a software player, since productivity works, as you know, was amalgamated into IS Sound, the new IS Sound people are not supporting the LP player, which was the one of the best software players to play these books. But in the meantime, VisuAid has picked up that production of a software player, and they are working on that. VisuAid is also one of the two producers of the hardware standalone players. They produce the Victor digital talking book machine, and as some of you probably know, there is another device known as the PlexTalk, which is made by Plextor, the famous manufacturer of high-end CD drive products. And those are the two hardware players that are already on the market, have actually been on the market now for a number of years. The problem is, in the United States, there have been no books available in CD-ROM format. They've been using them in Japan for a number of years now. In Denmark, the RNIB has recently began to utilize CD-ROM technology. They are produced in the DAISY file format that you're probably familiar with. Ours in particular, DAISY 2.0, which is the HTML standard, using SMILE as the audio linking language, which allows both the electronic text as well as full audio text, that is a human reader recording, which is then linked together to the text of the book, which will allow navigation practically at any level that the producer cares to put into the book. Navigation page to any page in the book, from any page in the book, navigation by chapter level, by section, by subsection. Actually, you could go down to the paragraph or sentence level if the producer wanted to take the time to put in all the necessary tagging to make that possible. So anyway, where we are with the production right now, we are using these books already in about 36 schools. They're being expanded this fall to a total of 39 schools in which students are already using this technology, but it has to be in a pre-release format because of the fact that we don't have the digital rights management pieces in place, so therefore we're not able to do it in a full release. The anticipated full release is for the fall of 2002. At that point, if the other parts fall into place, we should be able to offer CD-ROM technology to any user of RFB and D services at that point. Any questions or comments?
More sophisticated players
Yes, if you're using a software-based player, that is a player which actually runs in your laptop or your desktop computer, which is what LP Player allowed you to do when it was still being supported, would allow for text searching. You could look for specific terms in the text or a string of characters. That's all based on the premise that you have the full electronic text included in the structure of the book. Now, I should say that it is not essential to have that in there. And a lot of the books that will be produced will not have the full electronic text underneath it. It will have what's basically a structure outline, table of contents, for instance, of the book, which will allow navigation. But it would not allow you to search for specific terms or character strings within the text. You'd have to have the full electronic text behind it. And it's our desire to have as many of those books available as we can. You have to keep in mind, though, that to be able to do that includes a lot of time as far as the markup of the text is concerned. So that's one thing to keep in mind.
So would you emphasize, you know, the reference books you put in there?
Yeah, that would be the idea. Anything where the ability to find particular words in the text is going to be important. For instance, a software manual is something that you would want to have in that full electronic format. A medical dictionary, something like that. You know, anything where the terms are very specific as far as searching is concerned. A novel would not be essential. Most standard textbooks, you know, it's debatable. It could give you value, but it's not essential. I had a question much to my right. Yes, in the front.
How have these rights management issues been addressed in other countries? Why has that standard taken off overseas, where it hasn't taken off here?
Well, that's a good question. And now, in Japan, it was not a problem because it was supported at the federal government level, or the national government of Japan supported the production of books in that format, and in their government system there they have a much freer hand as far as doing that. And in the United States we have there is the international copyright laws and that we of course follow in all countries, but still, if for whatever reason, it was not that big of a question in Japan. In the United States, I think the publishers are much more active and vocal in making this known, and they're giving us a lot of support in trying to integrate this into our technology. Certain publishers in particular have been very helpful in that. Any other questions? Seeing none, I guess.
Well, thank you very much for coming.
Hello, my name is Larry Lewis, and I'm the products manager with HumanWare, and we're exhibiting in booth 26 and 27. A lot of exciting things happening with HumanWare this year. Most notable is our whole line of note takers, Pulse Data line of note takers, the BrailleNote family of products, which we're exhibiting, as well as Accessibility is also exhibiting right next door to us, actually. About a year ago at CSUN, we released BrailleNote, which was really the first Braille and speech note taker built off of a Windows-based Windows CE platform, which enables users to interact in a very comfortable Braille and synthesized speech environment with Windows hanging out in the background, which allows for compatibility to other mainstream applications such as Microsoft Word and Pop Email and so forth. And we've been very happy with the success of that product. Since then, we've released VoiceNote, which is its speech counterpart. It's just a speech-only note taker with both Braille and QWERTY input. And I would like to mention that we are actually holding a drawing to give away a free VoiceNote, which will be held. The drawing will be held on Wednesday, July 4th at noon in booths 26 and 27. You can sign up in the HumanWare booth as well as the Accessibility booth for the drawing, and we'll be conducting that drawing on Wednesday, July 4th. The user will have a choice of either a QWERTY typewriter version of the VoiceNote or a Braille version of the VoiceNote as well. Recently, actually just this week we have launched the Braille, the QWERTY version of the Braille Note. So we have a fourth edition to the Braille Note family of products, that being the QWERTY version of the Braille Note for individuals who prefer to read refreshable Braille but wish to be able to input using a QWERTY keyboard. And we do have a QWERTY unit here, and we're very excited about that. The nice thing about these products is they're based all on the same software, the same operating system, the same applications. There's a lot of unification and continuity between all four products. We just want to cater to individuals' reading and writing preferences. There may be some individuals who prefer just to use synthesized speech. There may be persons who wish to use Braille as a means of accessing information. However, those individuals may wish to use alternative means for input. So we've tried to be very flexible with the product line. We've had a software upgrade since its initial launch and are working to add additional feature enhancements with word conversion and faster email downloads and just a whole host of things that we're working on. And you can stop by the booth to check that out. We're also holding some small group workshops in the Savory Suite 1009, which is our suite. And you can stop by the booth to sign up for those. There's a few spots remaining, small group workshops where you would be able to get your hands on the equipment. Spend about an hour, hour and a half with myself most of the time. I'm doing most of them, but we also, one of our sales reps is also doing workshops as well. So we're very happy with the drawing and with the reception of this product. We do have a new case. One of the few deterrents to the product was actually the case. And we've actually got a more functional case where you can mount the unit in the case and use it a little bit more easily within the case, either around your neck or sitting, and protects the unit quite well. And we're very happy with the new case. So we're also exhibiting those new cases as well. Looking forward to your feedback on the products. We have, over the last year, launched a Braille Note listserv, which is quite trafficked and quite a bit of user feedback for both HumanWare and Pulse Data staff to continue to position this product in North America to meet your needs. And you, the consumers, are really what this whole product line is all about. We want to make you more productive, make you more comfortable doing things that you would prefer to do on a portable device. And again, my name is Larry. I'm the product manager for the product in the U.S., and I would be happy to speak with any of you privately regarding this whole suite of products that we've launched. I'll keep it short. I know we have some people behind me, and I'll take questions. Don't raise your hand. I'm blind. So just blurt it out.
Is the voice still any smaller than the Braille?
Yes. It is about two-thirds as high. It's because you're not dealing with the Braille cells that have to be housed. So it's about a pound. It's under 2 pounds. The Braille Note is, depending on the model that you have, we have an 18-cell and a 32-cell Braille line. It's either 2.5 or 2.8 pounds. The voice note comes in under 2 pounds, and it is quite a bit smaller. The Braille Note QWERTY is the same size as the Braille Note. We were able to get the keyboard packaged in the same size product, so it's a really compact QWERTY unit. It's an excellent design, actually.
How much did the voice notes?
The voice notes cost $19.95. Again, we'll be conducting a drawing for that. We'll be happy to take your name and contact info. You do need to be present to win. We're not going to hunt over four hotels for the winner. So you do need to be present to win. We do have an upgrade path, and that would cost $2,095, which would be just a couple hundred dollars different if you would have ordered the 32 up first, up front. But it is a modular upgrade where we can take the top off, put a new top on with the additional 14 cells.
What about the 32 and
14? I am working on pricing for that right now. I'm trying to keep the pricing fairly low. If individuals who have a Braille Note would prefer to switch to the QWERTY model, we can do it. I'm just working with development channels on the actual list price for you, the end user. And I'm trying to keep that as low as I can. Hopefully, you know, a few hundred dollars. It's basically changing out the keyboards, but also making an addition to the motherboard as well, you know, putting an extra module on the motherboard. Quiet crowd today. I better get out before the questions get too hard. Thanks.
Okay, I guess that's something else. Okay, hi folks, I'm Jerry Kuntz. I'm the sales manager for Accessibility Incorporated, formerly of HumanWare. Many of you have probably run into me at one conference or another over the years. And as the sales manager of Accessibility, I'm very pleased to say that we do offer a broad range of products. Both the Pulse Data and the Freedom Scientific note takers, most of the available Braille displays, the screen access software, the reading OCR programs, and we are focused on a line of CCTVs from Pulse Data International. If you haven't seen the new SmartView 8000, it's in our booth. It's also in the PDI America booth next to us, between us and HumanWare. And for all I know, there might be one at HumanWare also. I wonder why. As some of you may or may not know, Pulse Data International has acquired HumanWare as of May. Pulse Data International has PDI America. That's the CCTV division. And they own a majority of Accessibility, and so we're all pleased to be part of the Pulse Data family. We as Accessibility still handle a variety of lines of products from other manufacturers and plan on continuing to do so. Our strengths are principally that we do good scripting and we do good set file writing, so we customize our products to meet the needs of the end user in employment or special education applications. On the front of the Pulse Data SmartView 8000, the reason I'm talking about the 8000, and there are four models now, the 1000, 3000, 5000, 7000, and 8000. I guess that's five models. I can't count. They are all somewhat different from each other, and some of the features that they boast in the marketplace are based on cost, a 3-year warranty, and the addition of a keypad for the 3000 and models above. The keypad allows one to put an on-screen calculator, an on-screen clock, and with some additional software and a different keyboard, an on-screen like small database, contact database, all on the CCTV device. They have switchable on and off software so that one can turn on the date or the time or the calculator at will with the push of a button and turn it back off. You can move the position of those items to any place you want on the screen, and you can also enlarge the output from those devices to accommodate your particular visual needs. The 8000 is the newest in the series of CCTV interactive devices with computers, and its strength is not only that it has a glass lens, but it will produce on any monitor at any refresh rate and any resolution and any color combination. So it's full pure color and very high resolution if one chooses that pathway. It has true automatic focus. No buttons to push. You enlarge it, it focuses. You can split the screen vertically or horizontally, and it has good line marking and shadow masking features. In fact, it's, I believe, common knowledge that Pulse Data is beginning to build the CCTV connecting modules for some of the other CCTV companies because they do such an excellent job. On the Braille front, accessibility imports and is the North American distributor for the Handytech Mod 80, Bookworm, and Braille Wave. I will say publicly, both in front and not in front of the manufacturer, I don't care anything about the Braille Wave. When the next version comes out, I'm sure I'm going to be very excited because we've had a lot of input on the product. The current product is a nice Braille terminal if you don't mind bumping keys and losing your place frequently. It's convenient, it's portable, it's lightweight, and it has ergonomic cells like the Mod 80. I don't like it because the keys are in the way. It's been a stumbling block for me as the sales manager to be able to really get behind the product. And I think those of you who know me know that if I don't like something, I won't sell it or promote it. That's the way I've always been, and that's the way I'll be probably until I'm out of the industry. The Mod 80, on the other hand, is a fantastic product, and I find it to be probably the Cadillac of Braille displays at this time. I didn't hear Larry Lewis say anything about the Voyager, so I'm not sure of the status of that. I do know that the Mod 80 has ergonomic cells. It has easy-to-find cursor routing buttons. So if your fingers are on a cell and you just barely move your finger forward on the display, you hit a cursor routing button so you aren't missing your target, as we have done with a lot of other styles of cursor routing keys. It has status cells. It has a 16-key keypad that is able to be attached to the left or the right side of the standard keyboard, making one integrated unit with lots of extra programmable, assignable keys. In some employment settings, this is a true value feature for the person who has multiple screens and not enough buttons to customize those screens to get where they need to go quickly. The probably one final comment I'll make, any of you who have seen the Bookworm, I'm sorry, I broke mine, sent it back to Europe, and it didn't return in time for the show, but a Bookworm is something about the size of a lady's shoe that has an 8-cell Braille display. And this Braille display has a 4K, 4 meg memory on it, so it can store about 4,000 pages of text. It is a small Braille display for reading only. One can store documents in it, store books in it. And one can also connect it to your PC as an 8-cell Braille display output. It's cute, costs about $1,700. And I know there are a couple of people around here who use them as reading devices just because it's easier than hauling a pile of books around with them. Sorry, I don't have mine for display, but we do have information if people are interested in it. And you can see the ergonomic cells in the Mod 80 to give you an idea of what it might appear to be. I like my Braille Note. I work with it all the time. I'm looking forward to having a QWERTY-style Braille Note. Having been the former product manager at HumanWare and helping instigate this product line, I am absolutely pleased with its implementation and encourage you all to look those tools over, as well as the new Freedom Scientific M20, and I believe they now have their M40 on display. If people need a comparison, I'm sure that several of us can sit down and talk the sales points of both types of systems to help you sort out which is going to meet your needs better. Thank you all. Any questions? It's curved, it's concave, so Being a Braille reader of long standing, when I've worked at the Mod 80 Braille terminal for any length of time, I find that my wrists are more relaxed, my fingers are more arced, and I get a lot less wrist fatigue as I'm reading for hours and hours throughout the day. So the cells are slightly concave, and put at about a 30 degree angle, so it's very comfortable reading. Handytech is the manufacturer of Mod 80 Braille Window, or excuse me, Braille Wave and the Bookworm.
Well, I'm Dan Tiber, and I'm an employee of Duxbury Systems. And I guess our newest thing right now is our latest version of DBT, which is 10.3. Started shipping at the beginning of the year. New things about DBT 10.3 is that we fully support Word 2000. The next biggest thing is the fact that our mathematics, we're able to now take in LaTeX files. You can use Scientific Notebook, which is a math editor used in many colleges and so on, and just an over-the-counter math editor, and create a file in that math editor, save it, bring it into Duxbury, and translate it without having to put all the codes manually in. So you're now able to create Nemeth math without having to do all that manual coding. Another thing that DBT 10.3 does now is import DAISY NISO files, and also we import Moon files. Moon file, well, and I don't know a whole lot about Moon, but it is a different type of Braille.
It's a raised line.
Raised numbers and letters and so on.
Can you translate the New York Point yet?
Not that I know of. As far as the Duxbury DBT win is $595 for a single user. And that includes at least 1 year of free updates, and after that you can update for $195. Other than that, we do have MegaDOS for the same price, Braille board, which is specifically geared towards sign makers, that is also $595, but it's sort of a different type of program. And we don't have anything other than our main programs. We don't have watered down translators. Depends how old it is. If it's past a year, then it'll cost you $195. If it's past 5 years, it'll cost you $295. And if it's really old, like if you got one of the old DOS versions from from 10 years ago, we generally give you like $100 off a new version.
Well, basically like something like, I'm not sure if it's 6 or 5, I don't
know. Yeah, most likely you'll get $100 off going up to a new version. Which is still considering, it's pretty good considering it's been that long.
Sir, can I ask a question?
Sure. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Okay. Eight and a half by 11. 11 usually. Well, if you have an inner point embosser, then certainly that's capable of doing that. If you have an inner point embosser and it's not doing the proper thing, one thing you can do is stop by our booth number, which is 53, and I'd be happy to talk to you about the specific problem that you're having. Or if you're back at home, and that's a lot of times it's easier if in front of your computer and your embosser, our tech support would be happy to talk to you. Well, Duxbury is not a machine. Duxbury is the software. So the Duxbury will drive in a bus, but it... Okay, well, so if you know what kind of embosser you have, then we might be able to work with you. Again, if you stop at booth 53, I'd be happy to work out the details. It may be a very simple thing. You're welcome.
First of all, I'd really like to thank you for the invitation to talk here. We're not a vendor. I work for the National Institute of Standards and Technology, which is a government agency. But in the course of some research that we were doing, we came up with a new technology for doing braille displays, which is, as far as I know, pretty much different from any way that it's been done before, or at least that it's been done before and gotten it working. It's based on a rotating wheel. It puts the braille text on the rim of a wheel, kind of like the tread of a tire, and the wheel rotates and runs the text past the fingers of the user. So instead of the person running their hand over a line of braille, it uses the wheel. The reason that we did that was a conventional braille display has to have a little powered actuator for every dot, and that's the major factor in the cost of the displays. We're doing 6-dot braille right now, and it just takes 3 actuators to set all the dots. And we believe that it could be manufactured and sold for around $1,000. It's got a prototype has a 4-inch wheel, and it has 16 characters or 16 cells exposed at any given time. So just about any combination of fingers is possible for reading it, multiple fingers. Let's see, it's the speed of the wheel can be adjusted by the user, and it can also be paused. If people would prefer to read it while the text is not moving, that would be 16 characters at a time. But in fact, everybody who has actually tried the prototype so far has been able to read it while it was moving. That kind of surprised us. We didn't think that that would happen. And quite a few users have been very surprised by that, too. So anyhow, we put together a prototype. We've had, I don't know, maybe about 50 or 60 people have tried it, gotten pretty good comments about the readability. But it is just a prototype, and we're not a manufacturer. So what we're hoping is that we can make the technology available to manufacturers, and they can make this as a product and add it to their existing product lines. We see that some immediate applications for it are for people who can't afford the current kinds of displays, maybe places like schools. A very good possibility would be having a spare display, just a very cheap device to use while your big one is in the shop. And also, since it's a wheel instead of a linear display, it can be made very portable, about the size of a portable CD player. And so it has some very good potential for portable applications. And that's about it for that. Right now we've been talking with some manufacturers. And this year, I'll just say very briefly, we're looking at refreshable tactile graphics. We don't have anything right now, but we might be able to announce something in November for that. I think that there would be a lot of potential for that, for design and scientific applications, maybe web browsing and so on. So are there any questions?
How much do you save my cost?
It's extremely simple to build. We think that it might be possible for a manufacturer to sell it profitably for $1,000. Question at the end?
Yes. Do you have a prototype here, first of all?
No, I'm sorry. I was afraid to take it on the plane. We're in right near Washington, D.C., but I have a promise with some ACB people in the Washington area to show it around there sometime soon.
The other thing is, it sounds like that this concept was taken from the days of mechanical television. It sounds like a very similar kind of a process, the wheel systems.
Oh, yeah. In fact, it took a lot of thought on our part to come up with it. But, you know, as soon as we had something and describe it to people, they say, oh, why didn't we think of doing it that way? It's something that's very obvious in hindsight. Okay, another question in front.
If someone wanted to find out like more information or contact a person, might not be able to make a meeting.
Okay. Well, most of the search engines will find it if you look for Braille and Wheel. We have a web page, just has a new shortcut, which is www.nist.gov. That's NIST.gov. /Braille, and unfortunately you need another slash after that. We're hoping to fix that. And right now some of the information is a little bit out of date, but I'm hoping in a week's time we'll have it really nicely set up. We'll have an online video and animation for engineers who are interested in how it works. A lot of text description, of course.
And what was that again?
www.nist.gov/braille/. Okay, that's all the questions. Thank you very much.
Thanks to VidPi, the Visually Impaired Data Processors International, an affiliate of the American Council of the Blind, for making some of their material from the convention available to us, and there'll be more in future editions of Main Menu.
Main Menu.
Main Menu.
Main Menu.
Main Menu.
The time has come for us to log off for another week. On behalf of all the Main Menu team, I'm Jonathan Mosen, wishing you a pleasant week. Join you again soon.